time now for my November book review. I'm very proud of myself. I'm ahead of schedule. I've already started my December book. I'm 100 pages into it about the stock market crash of 1929 and everything that preceded it and came after. Fascinating book. But my November book of the month that I'm going to review here in this segment is called Algo Speak: How Social Media is Transforming the Future of Language by Adam Alexic. Gordo, I thought of you a lot when I was reading this book.
Because I'm so handsome?
Yes, that's the only reason.
Oh, so weird.
And I'm so glad that I read this book, because if you're older, you have quickly lost touch with how language is evolving. Young kids are on the cutting edge.
Bro.
I think by raising my daughter, I will kind of be back on the cutting edge. She will introduce me to a lot of this stuff. I know, George, you always talked about that. Your boys would keep you current.
Yeah.
But when you haven't been around that world for a long time, you kind of lose touch. And this is a fascinating book. And the author talks in the beginning about how our language 600 years ago, Middle English, was very insular, was city to city, dialect to dialect. Then 19th century print media sped up the rate in which language changed, spreading new words and slang. An example, mid-19th century, there was an American slang fad to give words incorrect abbreviations, like okay. Okay was an abbreviation for all correct.
Yeah.
That's how the term started. Not AC, all correct, but okay. And that morphed into today's word, O-K-A-Y, okay. And then he goes on to talk about where we are today, that with the internet, our language changes at a lightning pace. And he writes, words which have always been tied to trends are only going to continue to be pushed by algorithms engineered to reward those trends. And that's the title, Algo Speak. He talks a lot about how social media and the algorithms are changing the way we talk, not just in this country and not just online, but around the world and in our everyday life. Another example of how quickly social media is changing the way we talk, a British study shows that more and more British kids are speaking with American YouTube accents. And we're seeing more of this not only in Great Britain, but around the world, because most of the social media content is created by Americans. So more and more international content creators are softening their foreign accents in order to have more mass appeal online. So we are a globe that is trending towards speaking English like Americans and trying to drop your accent, man, at least when you're online.
I had not heard that.
French and Spanish schools are losing their grip on teaching their native languages because of the English-dominant internet. And he talks about how groupthink changes language and creates new language. And, of course, I thought about The Ticket when I was reading this chapter, because The Ticket has its own language among P1s.
Sure.
All the drops and phrases we've come up with over the years. And he writes about this topic. Neurologists have identified an innate tendency of the human brain to divide the world into us and them, which makes sense from an evolutionary perspective. Belonging to an in-group has historically meant better access to resources, a mutual network of protection, and social support system. We tend to form these groups with people who are like us. Within the group, there's more of a shared social goal and thus more to connect over. You'll also use group-specific language, just like fashion or performative social media posts. Language is a form of self-expression used to show a sense of belonging. Again, that's why everybody code switches, like Daddy when he's talking to Brian Jones. We change how we talk to show we're part of the group. Individual words are tools that can be created or adopted to better bond with each other. That sums up The Ticket language.
Sure.
The P1 language.
Absolutely.
And he's an influencer, and he talks a lot about playing the algorithm game, getting around censorship by using misspellings and emojis. He talks about the platforms like Reddit and digital rubbernecking. Reddit rewards negative content through its algorithm, so negative posts get seen more, liked more, and they optimize engagement, and thus more and more negative content is created and appears. And most of the people who get sucked into these kinds of platforms have no idea that they're being gamed by the algorithm. And it, the most chilling line in the book, he's talking about people always say the algorithm knows them. But the author puts it this way. Rather than knowing you, the algorithms more so guide you into who you will become.
Wow.
Think about that for a moment. And very few people are aware that the algorithm is guiding them into the person they will become.
Man, I've never thought about that, but that's really, I guess it's frightening, but.
Yes, yeah. I mean, I think what it does is it takes things that it gathers about you and knows that you respond to, and then it gently guides you to where it wants you to go,
mm-hmm.
you know, which is a lot of times it's more time on that platform is what they're just gaming you to do.
Right.
So they're serving you up, and then they move the line a little bit more and more to get you over to where they want you to be, which is a massive consumer.
Yes. And, Gordo, this is what you were talking about in Muse in the News today. He talks about, in this book, Algo Speak, that it's not just the random Joes posting negative stuff online. A recent study that he cites shows that politicians are engaging in online incivility way more than ever before. Because if you're civil online, you get less engagement.
Right.
So they go negative, they get more engagement. And as he said, that's not a great thing when you're talking about our elected leaders.
No.
They're getting down and dirty. They're doing the dozens.
But politics is more than ever a popularity contest. And to be popular is to be popular online. So mm-hmm. you've got to be great online. I mean, the most appealing politicians, this is what Trump was great at. You know, Trump is this very interesting figure that is in so many ways two generations behind, but in so many ways more the current generation than any politician we've had in forever.
Yes.
Because he would get online and just tweet out random stuff that was highly opinionated and highly it had voice to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it caught people's attention. He was fascinating to watch online. And I think he rode that to the White House.
Yes, no doubt. The author references Goodhart's Law, which states as soon as a metric becomes a target, it ceases to be a good metric. So by targeting engagement on social media, that eventually results in engagement maximizing content that nobody actually wanted. And then he has chapters about words and slang that come and go very quickly. A couple of years ago, the hot meme words were skibbity and gayat.
Or gat.
Gat.
Gat. Yeah. Right? Yeah.
And now you're out of touch if you use those. Those are long gone. And a lot of these come from those communities. The incel community creates a ton of this verbiage. The Swifty community. They're just all these communities online that create a lot of this lingo. A lot of it's just gibberish. I guess right now it'd be the 6-7 thing that nobody really knows what it means, but
yes,
yeah,
yes.
But everybody's using it.
That and this book sounds a little low-key chopped to me.
It is. It is. But it's, I mean, if I vibe check with it, though, it is kind of giving main character.
The other thing he talks about is generations, that 200 years ago, the idea of generations did not exist. The first time we ever labeled a generation was the lost generation, entering adulthood around World War I. That was the first time we ever labeled a generation.
God, they were such boomers.
And since then, we've labeled all of our generations, but it's social media that is so powerful that people now perceive generations to be real to the point of creating intergenerational wars and terms like okay boomer.
Ugh. Yeah, I freaking hate all that stuff. All that generational warfare stuff. That was going on when I was growing up too. Mm-hmm. You know, people would start talking about Gen X and what it means and what does Gen X think. And I just thought, this is all engineered for a fight. That's all this is.
Yes.
This false division of generations. And now we talk as if generations are real. You know, well, what really did it to us is millennials have screwed over Gen Alpha.
Just right. They're over
or,
our attitude.
Yeah, or boomers screwed over Gen Xers and millennials.
Yeah.
I'm with you there.
And it goes back to the algorithm. He says today the algorithm on social media strongly pushes us to identify with our generational cohorts. Gen Z, millennial, and boomer are among the most searched terms every year.
Yeah.
It's just crazy.
We are so doomed.
Keep going. Let's keep doing it.
Well, and you know what? And he kind of concludes with that thought. He says, everybody says to me, we're so doomed, or our language is devolving. And he concludes with the general sense that our language is not necessarily evolving or devolving in the wrong direction, but it's really doing what it has always done, and that's simply evolving in a different direction.
Yeah. It's always changing.
It just has a greater accelerant than it ever has had before with social media and with us being connected. Now, you know, trends can come and go. We almost have micro trends that pop up, certainly in language, because we just are hyper-feeding the language machine, and there's just all sorts of new terms that come out very, very quickly and have very, very short shelf lives.
And we are being gamed by these algorithms that are, as he said, guiding us to the person we will be. And I know so many people who are caught up in a certain forum or a certain political party or a certain, I don't know, generational war, whatever it happens to be online, and they have no idea that they're being used by the algorithm.
Yeah. Because when you look at it, I've made the point before, when you look at it, you don't see this stuff going on in real life. Like, I walked up here from, as we're at Billy Bob's today for our canned food drive, I walked all the way to this broadcast booth past 50 people, and we did not argue about language or generations or politics or anything the whole way up here. Yeah. And yet I opened up my computer, and that's all is available to me is to do those things.
Right.
So well, in our,
take it to the streets, man. Go out there and fight with those people.
In our fake world, we've just designed things for engagement with each other that is mostly negative.
Yeah.
In real life, I can get around and walk all over the place and not have any of those discussions.
So maybe a little less screen time?
And for some reason, when I'm walking outside, there's not a big algorithm that's guiding me where I'm going.
Right.
But yet when I walk in this world, I'm finding a bunch of conflicts. Who's leading me?
So that is my November book of the month, Algo Speak, How Social Media is Transforming the Future of Language by Adam Alexic.